I invite you to open your Bibles up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. That will be the first scripture we will reach this evening. Our lesson's title would be The Assurance of the Benefits of Being a Christian. It is not something that we are not aware of. These ideas and these assurances are not something that is new to us, but it is something that is often cloudy in our lives, something that we often neglect, that we let perhaps discourage us, or that we let distract us from being the servants that we ought to be. The Christian life is one that requires work, just like any life. The Christian life requires a lot of work, and work that is perhaps difficult in the sense that it requires us to deny ourselves. Now, we can work hard, but often when we work hard, it seems as if we put in the work because we know we're going to get a certain benefit. Or that work is something that we all of the time enjoy doing. Well, oftentimes in the Christian life, part of our work as a Christian can sometimes be something that at the moment we don't necessarily like. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22 tells us to abstain from every form of evil. But sometimes evil looks good. Most times it looks good. Otherwise it wouldn't be tempting. But we are to abstain from it, and sometimes it seems as if we use that abstinence as this, and I don't mean to be too graphic, but as this bludgeoning tool on our on the spirit that we have of our Christianity. We let it make our spirit dull. We let it make the encouragement of our life less than it ought to be. And sometimes I think we forget about what the larger picture is, the all-encompassing factor of the Christian life. One, we have to remember, this is the life we chose. It's obligatory in a sense in that we are subservient to the Almighty who created us from all time and for all time. So in that sense, it is obligatory. But in another sense, this is the life we chose. If we make a choice, then it ought to be something that we are not participating in halfway or half-hearted or with some reluctance or some reticence. It is a life that is a choice, and a choice that is founded in this principle. Go ahead and turn over to John chapter 10, verse 10. Go ahead and start in verse 9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And we have essentially two lives in the sense that one is eternal and then the life that is here on this earth. And in both cases, with Jesus, we have it more abundantly than without. And so in that perspective, any abstinence of things that are enticing or any work that we have to do of self-denial or things that take effort or that take our energy or take our heart and we become perhaps tired and apathetic should not be the case, as we have life more abundantly with Jesus than without Him. And to prove this point, I'd like to go over several blessings that are found within this Christian life. One of the most fun ones and one of the most encouraging ones is that we have family, and not only family where we live right now, but we have family around the entire globe. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Starting in verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in the fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. If they're all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And we'll talk about many of the lessons and the ideas found within those 15 verses. But the point that I would like to make right now is that we are all members of one body, clearly, and that this body extends everywhere to those who obey the gospel, to those who are in fellowship with God, and we have fellowship with one another as a result. I remember when I was a kid and I would go to camp or I would travel and I would have Christian friends around the state and we'd meet up. We hadn't seen each other for months or perhaps a year. And now that I'm getting older, that's becoming more frequent. I see people that I've known, Christians that I've known, and it's been a year or two. But isn't it just a wonderful feeling and this neat experience whenever you reunite and it feels as if nothing has changed? And I can't tell you how many connections I've made. You know, oh, I know so-and-so. Well, do you know this person? Yeah, I sure do. Well, isn't this a small world? It's because we all share in that same body. And take it more to broaden the scope, I think it's often easy for us to kind of make our family very small. And perhaps sometimes we get discouraged. Now, I'm not trying to offend you here.
Sometimes we see the same brethren over and over and over, and it's easy to get into this rut, or it's easy to get into this routine. And so we kind of have this small idea of the body of Christ. Now, we know that's not the case, but sometimes we may not meditate upon that blessing as much as we should. It's a wonderful blessing and this incredible idea that you could go anywhere in the world and find brethren and instantly have a connection that is deeper, more meaningful than anything else that could exist. I've moved, I don't know how many times, but in the past 9 years, I think I've lived 5 or 6 different places. Now, it's only been within Texas. And I've mentioned this before whenever I've preached at those different places, but I can't tell you what a comfort it was to find brethren and to feel instantly at home. I don't think people outside of the body of Christ know what that's like. And I can imagine how scary it would be and how unsettling it would be. But as Christians, we have family around the globe. And God designed it that way. It's a huge blessing that is found within our life. And of that family, as brothers and sisters, it's not as if we just, you know, do the same things and have things in common, but those things in common make us better people, and as a result, make us brothers and sisters in the true sense. We have true friends. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, verse 9. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. There is never a time, and of course with God, but there is never a time that we will ever be alone. There is never a time where we will encounter something that someone that is close to us has not gone through before. Those are the truest friends. Yeah, I've got a lot of close friends from when I played football, from when I was in band. And again, I just had my 10-year reunion when we were in high school, and we see each other, and you know, we go over some of those memories. And a lot of those memories were caused because we were enduring some of the same hardships. Remember when we almost made the playoffs and we lost by 4 points or didn't make the playoffs, and I was crying in the bathroom and I didn't let y'all know, and yeah, I was crying too, and so on and so forth, and that sounds real pathetic now. But we have that commonality because we know that we experience the same thing. We have a deep understanding for one another. As Christians, do we not have the most, the deepest understanding of one another? We all know what it's like to hear the gospel for the first time. To let it affect our hearts. For our actions to be moved by that gospel. We all know what it felt like that moment that we came up out of the water a new person. There's nothing better than that. That's something that we have in common with everybody in this room, with every Christian around the world. We know what it's like to sin and be far from our Father. We know what it's like to kneel before Him in tears, begging for forgiveness. Searching a way for a way back to Him. And maybe different ways that we've encountered that, but we've all encountered the same thing. Those are true friends. Those are things that we need to take advantage of. Those are blessings that God has said, here, this is for you. Let us take advantage of it. Let us be assured of that benefit. And so we have these incredible earthly relationships that God has given us to not only benefit from, but to enjoy. And He's also given us a relationship with Him now. We have a relationship with the Almighty. The One who wrote this perfect Word. The One who created this world. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 16. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. Brethren, we have access to the Almighty. The One who created all things. The One who has dominion over all things. The One who knows about the things that we know about and knows about the things we don't even know exist or that we should know about. You know, oftentimes when we're in our job or you know, when I was coaching football, we'd go to the coaching school once a year. And all, you know, you'd walk around the convention and you'd go to classes and they would sell products and you'd kind of rub elbows with the bigwigs, and you know, Mac Brown would walk by and that felt real cool. You'd be on an elevator with Cliff Kingsbury and you're like, man, if I could just talk to these guys, that could be really interesting. I could learn a lot. And then you'd go to their seminars and they wouldn't really tell you very much. It was just kind of to look cool. But you would think, you know, man, it's what an opportunity to get to learn from the person at the highest level that's been successful. And it was just that once a year. It's not like I could just call him and say, hey, what do you do against, you know, the triple option if you're running a 4-3? I don't know. I don't have that access. I have to figure it out. You see how insignificant that seems when I'm comparing it to this? Oftentimes we shape our lives, if I could just have access to this, if I could, you know, I'd be in a much better place or I'd be more successful or whatever it may be. We have access to the most important, the most powerful, the most enriching being that ever will, ever has existed. By Him, all things were created. We need to take advantage of it. There's not a greater blessing than that. We have a relationship with our Father, and we are allowed to talk to Him and have that access. 1 Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers,
intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. All things we can talk to our Father at any time with anything. That's a rarity that we find amongst people in our lives often. You know, you have that one person that you go to whenever something's going wrong. You have that one person you call whenever you want to have a good time, whatever it is. God encompasses every need, every want that we could ever come up with. Exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Go to our Father in prayer. There's not a better blessing. It's available at all times. And the astonishing part of this, and the part that should kind of blow our minds a bit, is that when we talk, He listens every time. Psalm 34:15-16. Psalm 34:15-16. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. But as Christians, we have the blessing of appealing to our Lord, appealing to God, no matter the circumstance, no matter the time. And this Lord, whom we are not worthy to talk to, offers that avenue. It's a blessing beyond comprehension. And it's assured to us, and it's one that we ought to take advantage of. And the last blessing that we will talk about tonight is that we are part of the greatest work that ever exists. And we're talking in near absolutes tonight, but such is God. So many people, and being in education, I find so many people trying to find purpose, trying to figure out what they want in life, knowing that they're not happy, trying to make sense of it all. Because there's only one way to reach that fulfillment. And as Christians, if we've ever felt that way, and listen, I am there, honestly. There are so many times where I am there. And education is a challenging occupation. And there are days where I'm like, man, why did I choose this? I have to remind myself, well, you chose it. And there'll be days or weeks at a time where I am not enjoying my job. And I have to convince myself to do a good job. I have to just kind of fake it sometimes. We don't have to do that with the Christian life. And if we are, we're missing it. If we're not really enjoying the Christian life, we're not really working in the vineyard as we should be. Because we're losing sight that this work, the Christian life, this work as being a servant of God is the greatest work that you and I are privileged to be a part of. Turn to Matthew 5:16. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The fact that you and I get to partake in a life that glorifies the one who made everything is something that should light our fires. It's something that should bring us zeal. It's something that should bring us encouragement. It's work, but it's the greatest work. God calls us to be part of His work, and that whenever we let our light shine, whenever we obey His commandments, whenever we emulate the life of Christ to the best of our abilities, whenever we fall short of that and pick ourselves up and keep going, we are glorifying God. There's nothing greater than that. John 6:28. Then they said to Him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" And sometimes it seems as if that's unreachable to me. Who am I? I'm small.
No one outside of River Oaks and a few people in Sugar Land and maybe a couple other cities know who I am. I've only got 1,000-some Facebook friends, and I don't really talk to all of them. How in the world can I, this small person, over the billions of people that have existed, be part of the work of the Almighty? That's how amazing He is. That's how wonderful He is. That's why He is to be praised. That He has counted us worthy to work in His vineyard. And that's how we should look at it. We're not entitled to anything, but we are privileged to be working in His vineyard. And we need to have that same question every day. What shall we do that we may work the works of God? What can I do? Lastly, in John chapter 9, verse 4. I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. Now this is Christ talking. And that He is working for God, and that He would have eventually sacrificed Himself that you and I can't do. We cannot take the sins of the world like Christ the perfect sacrifice did. But we are one, and that we are partakers of the same work that Christ was in serving His Father. And He calls us to be lights in the world as well. It's a humbling thing. It's a thing that should, again, fire us up. That should encourage us to continue these works. To look at our life as something that is not only meaningful, but enjoyable and important. Our lives are important. Not in the Sesame Street sense, and I don't mean to be flippant. But everyone is special in their own way, and I'm not talking about that sense. But our lives are important in the fact that we are workers in the vineyard of the Almighty. We should take it seriously. And we should do everything we can to be as strong of a light as possible. And in doing that, knowing that is a blessing that God has given to us. So in conclusion, turn to 1 John chapter 1. Starting in verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. His word needs to be in us. And once that happens, as we continue to work in His vineyard, as we continue to be lights in the world, as we continue to be His children and His servants, these blessings, this life, are assured to us. So let us make sure that we are working with that perspective. Let us make sure that our hearts are in a place where we have fellowship with God, that we may have fellowship with one another and enjoy those blessings. If there is anything keeping you from those blessings tonight, whether it be you've not started that journey, you've not been called a child of God, all of the things that we talked about tonight, you're not experiencing. And there's not a person on this world that anyone in this room or that God wants to see perish. Take advantage of it. If we have not been taking advantage of these blessings, if we have let our Christian attitude or our hearts be dulled or shaken, or our hearts have doubted who God is or what I'm doing or why I'm going through all of this for God, let us get back on track. Let us keep in perspective the blessings of God and the wonderful life that a Christian life is. Whatever your need may be, do it in the pew right now. Come forward if we can help you as we stand and as we sing.